It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And for those of you who thought that we were going to have a markedly early spring because of that easy winter we had, joke's on us. You know, if you'd have asked me in mid-March what I thought this was going to be, I would have said earliest spring ever. But hindsight, 2020 as always, and we are right smack dab on average. Every event that I'm going to relate to you today in terms of firsts, first flowers, first whatever, are within 3 or 4 days at most of their average. So we continue to hit things right smack dab on the head. Quick list of some of the flowers that I've run into in the last week, starting with orchids, because who doesn't want to start with orchids? The yellow and the pink lady slippers are both in bloom. There is, if you are intrepid and out in a bog, and if you look closely, you may come across a little plant called the heart-leaved twayblade. This plant is about 4 inches tall, and it is covered with about 20 little tiny flowers. And right at the level of the sphagnum moss from which this orchid grows, you will find 2 little heart-shaped leaves, hence the name heart-leaved twayblade. Lupin, traveling up the range and around this countryside here, lupin is blooming. For some people, lupin is a lovely flower that seems to manifest itself in the spring and be quite colorful. To others, it's an invasive species and has escaped gardens and is, to be disdained and perhaps eradicated. But lupin is blooming. It's lovely. And I guess I fall in the group that says, hey, if it wants to grow by my house, I'll take some. Until it begins to crowd out all the other ones, of course. Tall buttercup is blooming. This is that bright yellow flower. It's about an inch across. If you look at it, it's shiny. It looks like somebody sprayed it with a clear coat. And that is essentially what has happened with buttercup. The flower, the bright yellow flower, you look at it, it's going to shine. It's going to be just like reflective almost. And that is a clear coat of cells that has laid itself down over the top of the yellow pigment of that flower. And so you will be really, when you find them, you'll be quite amazed. They have heavily cut leaves and they're quite tall, sometimes 24 to maybe 30 inches tall. They have another name for them is blister plant, because for some people who have sensitive skin, it can cause blisters by handling it. So if you run into this tall yellow flower, be careful with it. I mean, they're lovely and they make they make a great bouquet, but they can be problematic for some people. There's a little flower out there called Sweet Sicily. What a lovely name. And this flower, when you see the plant, you're going to think fern because the leaves are heavily cut, almost fern-like. But it is not a fern, and it has a flower, which is how you know it's not a fern. Ferns have spores, and flowers have pollen and ovaries. And so the Sweet Sicily has these clusters of tiny white flowers at the top of the branches, and it is just on the edge of blooming right now. The sweet rose began to bloom this week. A week ago today, I was up north at the spruce site, which is roughly halfway between Grand Rapids and Marcel, and a little bit to the east. The smooth rose blooms up there 6 days ahead of its bloom date down here. In other words, I didn't see my first smooth rose blooming in my area until yesterday, but they were blooming north of here around the spruce site on Tuesday last week. Pale pea and American vetch, both of these plants, the pale pea is kind of whitish cream colored, and the American vetch is purple to pink, kind of a mixture of the two in the flower, and both of them are pea-like. So think snapdragons, or look at your pea plants in the garden when they flower, and that sort of structure of flower is very obvious on the pale pea and the American vetch. So check those out. Oxeye daisies, those are, you all recognize daisies, big white petals, rays, and the flower is actually that yellow part in the center, and it is blooming. Hawkweed, both orange and Canada hawkweed are blooming. The orange hawkweed is deep orange around the outsides and a brighter orange in the center. The Canada hawkweed is yellow, and both of them are, they will take over an area if they are not controlled. So I try not to let them survive at my house if I can help it. The common blackberry began to bloom this past week, and Juneberry is done blooming. But Juneberry, looking at the plants, they seem to have set a pretty good berry crop. So with this rain and perhaps a bit more help that way, we will have a good crop of Juneberries to eat in another month. Couple of different plants, the false Solomon seal and the hairy Solomon seal, both are blooming right now, as is rose twisted stalk, and I'm trying to think, there's one more. The false Solomon seal is that big arching, branching plant that has a cluster of white flowers or creamy white flowers right at that very end. And the hairy Solomon seal has a row of flowers that are suspended along the stem underneath the leaves and not very obvious. They are quite different. Goat's beard began to bloom this past week. Goat's beard is that, it's an inch and a half yellow flower that is heliotropic, which means it wakes up in the morning facing east, and as the sun moves across the sky, it will follow the sun usually till about noon, and then it closes up for the day. When it goes to seed, it's like one of those dandelions on steroids. So you know what a dandelion head looks like when it goes to seed. The goat's beard has that same sort of seed head, but it's the size of a baseball. So goat's beard's pretty easy to recognize once it goes to seed. Early meadow rue is kind of at the end of its bloom. Stitchwort is blooming. This is a little plant with tiny white flowers that you'll find on field edges. You'll also find cinquefoil in there, rough cinquefoil probably. Honewort is blooming. Buckbean, my friend Ann Gapinski has been reporting some of the swamp flowers for me. Buckbean began to bloom this past week. Also, bluebead lily is probably at its peak. Canada Mayflower probably at its peak. The cinnamon fern, the fertile stems of the cinnamon fern, the sporangia, are starting to take on a color. They're just beginning to mature. So first mature sorry on the cinnamon fern. I had the unique pleasure of walking on the area between Winnie and Cutfoot Sioux, where Bowen's Resort is. And we found in the woods there, we found a little yellow flower that I had not seen before. Looks a little bit like the tall buttercup, except that it only has four petals and it doesn't have that shiny coating on the petals. But celandine is the plant. And I went to check, because I'd never seen it before, I went to check on the Minnesota Wildflower site, and they show that it is it is in the Twin Cities area, and it has been reported in Itasca County on the northern edge of Lake Winnie. And this celandine is invasive, and in Wisconsin, it is an absolute threat to other plants, because it once it gets into an area, it can take over. So if you live in an area where you're finding celandine, it's pretty easily identified. Four bright yellow petals right now. It stands about 2 feet tall. It's got heavily cut leaves, and it's pretty obvious, celandine. And if you find it, you may want to make an effort to get rid of it. Among the flowering shrubs, roundleaf dogwood, high bush cranberry, downy arrowwood, all of those are in flower. Labrador tea is in flower in the swamps. Black chokeberry is past its prime. I have two. One is a varietal that I planted from Soil and Water Conservation District plants, and the other one is a wild one. And the wild one is just beginning to bloom, but the native or the varietal that's growing in my yard is done blooming and has set fruit. Among the insects that I've run into, oh, here's a happy list. we'll start with the good news. The chalk-fronted corporal dragonfly is now pruinose. And that means that it has a white sort of scaly substance that has grown on its body. So the two broad, bright stripes on the front of its thorax are now white. They were khaki a week ago. As the chalk-fronted corporal matures, these become more white, and they are white now, along with a patch on its tail. So pruinose is this white coating that comes along after the chalk-fronted corporal begins to get active. On the negative side of that, so the chalk-fronted corporal is out. I had my first deer flies this past week and my first horse flies, as if the mosquitoes weren't bad enough. And the mosquitoes are out in great force. And I had had a wonderful tour of the Thistledew Camp, which is a Minnesota correctional facility located in northeastern Itasca County. And we had a great walk up there, but the mosquitoes were fierce. Oh, my. Everybody in the group had a head net but me. And I don't react to mosquitoes. So, I mean, they bite and I can feel them biting me, but I know they're not going to leave a welt and they're not going to make an itchy spot on me. They just bite, take the blood, and go. And so these 11 people that were with me, all wearing head nets, were pretty impressed with this old geezer who could stand there and let 25 mosquitoes bite him at one time and not really react to it. So I guess it depends on how you feel about mosquitoes. I'm sort of indifferent. I will kill them if I have the opportunity, but if I'm busy, you know what? They're not taking that much blood. Although I did once read an article that talked about some of the worst mosquito-infested areas in the world, including the Arctic areas of North America and, of course, Siberia. And it was noted in an article that I had read many years ago that if you happen to be caught out in one of these areas without clothing, that the process is called exsanguination, which means to have all your blood removed, would take 2 hours. So it would take 2 hours for the mosquitoes to take all of your blood. But that assumes that you're not killing any and that you're not wearing any clothes either. So both of those things should not happen if you are in an area with real heavy mosquito occurrence. Keep your clothes on. Finally, in the insect field, a note about the fireflies. And I've been seeing them flashing every night, and it's quite spectacular. In some areas, there are two species of fireflies, two genus of fireflies, the Photinus and the Photurus. And what happens with fireflies is the female finds a spot where she can show off or she can flash. And she sits there and flashes a code. And the male fireflies of her species, of her genus, see that code and they are attracted to her and they will fly to where she is and try to mate with her. The Photurus fireflies, those in the genus Photurus, the females of that species, once they have mated with a male, they switch their code and they flash a Photinus code. So these females suddenly go from flashing Photurus code to flashing Photinus code. And the Photinus males show up expecting to breed with the female. And like the spiders, where the female often eats the male for the protein that she needs to raise the young, these Photurus females attracting these Photinus males will eat them when they arrive. And in the process, she gains some chemical defense because the Photinus eat a diet that gives them some defense against bird predation and so forth. And so the Photurus firefly female gains quite a bit by attracting these Photinus males and eating them. Besides the protein, she gets a little bit of chemical defense as well. So keep an eye out on the fireflies. They're doing some pretty weird things out there, and you might want to be watching out for them. Two final notes. One, my baby eagle is whining and crying and begging from the nest. His cries are not loud, but quite plaintive. And he's wanting mom and dad to come and feed him. He's quite large. I say he, it could be a female. It's a big bird now and probably requires quite a bit of food to keep it going. And finally, and this note is one that occurs every year just about this time, starting in June, I saw a dead crow along the highway. And usually what that means to me is that the juvenile crows are starting to fly, are fledging, because the rest of the year, crows seldom get hit by cars. It just doesn't happen very often. They're smart and they're observant and they know what cars are and they know how to stay out of the way of cars. But for some reason, every June, I see a few dead crows along the roads, and usually it's the result of the juvenile crow not knowing quite exactly how fast cars are. That's the Phenology Report for this week. As always, if you have observations that you'd like to share, we would love to hear from you.
You can catch Phenology through the Season Watch newsletter or on our website later this week at kaxe.org.